This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three on this Open Line Fun Sunday. I'm your host, Captain McKee, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Good morning, Houston. I'm Austin Mendez.
Well, how's it going? I like that national anthem. That was Leanne Rimes, you said?
Yeah, that was Leanne Rimes. That was a good one, man. I had chills.
Yeah.
That was good, man.
Most patriotic Americans do get chills when they hear the national anthem.
Yes, sir. America.
The few of us that are left. No, just joking. All right. Well, cool. It is Open Line Fun Sunday. We have a clean board, so if you care to give us a call, we'd love to talk to you. Let's talk turkey. Talk shop, 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. All right, let's look at weather real quick. Right now it's blowing 26 out of the north, kind of north-northeast at the North Jetty. Inside in Galveston, it's gusting to 30. San Luis Pass, 27. So it's pumping pretty good along the coast. Buoy offshore showing 33 miles an hour. The high island buoy out there. And Galveston buoy showing 26. So it's a little breezy this morning. The farther you move inland, the less, you know, wind you have. But along the coast, it's blowing pretty good this morning. So that's where we're at. You know, an interesting little read I saw the other day. Somebody even put the link to it up on Facebook talking about the mysteries of speckled trout migration. We may get into that later, but if you'd like to look it up and read about it, this is mostly a survey and a study that was done south of here. I'd like to have more details on what it's like on the upper coast with complex. That would be so, but let me give you this web address. Go to fishgame.com, fishgame.com. That's the Outdoor Nation. They've got a article in there about, you know, the study of the Gulf States Marine Fishery Commission. It's a report on trout migrations, mostly down south. All right, let's get to the phones. Let's go to Kayak Dave on one. Kayak Dave, what is up?
Man, it's been good on the Outdoor Show this week, man. I listen to pretty much every minute. It's been all-star quality.
Well, thank
man,
you, sir.
Man, when you – hey, good job, Mick. Pat yourself on the back.
Nah.
But anyway, listening to Cliff Webb and Billy Koshin, man, let me tell you something. If that don't get you starting to head south, you got a problem.
Yeah.
So anyway, we got to get down there.
Oh yeah, it's fun fishing down there. It's a switch, whole different way of fishing. I mean, it's, you know, we still use same lures, same presentations, techniques, and all that. It's just a
I hadn't done it much. But
you don't have to do what?
Yeah, I've been down there once or twice.
Yeah.
We used to have what we call the fishing day off. So what would happen? Guys working on the job, we'd pick a day and we'd head south. And we stayed down there a couple of days and we hit. Sometimes we'd go all the way to, you know, like South Padre if we had 4 or 5 days and work every spot along the way back. We'd be so tired when we get back, it's ridiculous. Fish at night too. But the anticipation of going is almost as good as heading down there.
Yeah.
But, Mick, the fish been biting here, too. When I've gone out, man, all I had to do was find a water movement tide change, and they've been biting. Ain't no doubt about it. and good fish too. But anyway, it's been, you know, kind of sad around here. But that kid that got shot at Bel Air, and a couple of policemen I know ran into some problems. It's been some craziness. So anyway, we got to be more patriotic. That's one thing that I ain't never going to let down on because, man, look, it's a privilege to be in Houston, Texas, in the United States. And look, I'm sitting up here talking about heading down to South Texas. That's just as good as going to Florida as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's we got the resources here. And sometimes we don't appreciate what we got.
Well, that's true. We don't.
And an outdoor show early in the morning is like medicine. You know, you sit there and listen. I'm listening all the time. And I don't call in as much as I used to because I'm sitting here listening. Why I want to interrupt what's going on? Y'all doing a heck of a job.
Well, no. But anyway. Sundays are four, man, is for all our listeners to call in and, you know, and I give the guys a break on Sundays.
Yeah, and it's a perfect forum, too, for somebody to get in there and, you know, get some information how to work those lures. Cause let me tell you, anybody that don't fish lures, you catch a good fish on a lure is like catching 20 on bait.
Yeah.
I used to not understand that, but I tell you, the older you get, when you can finesse that bait out there and get it whacked, man, that'd be bait every day of the week. But I ain't mad at using any bait either, but, you know, however you want to do it.
I got you. I'm with you,
but
man.
Anyway, oh, Mick, no thing. I did this thing called a gut scrub, full body detox thing. Man, I think there's a bunch of stuff in these stomachs and these bellies that need to come out because, you know how when you eat a bunch and all of a sudden you just kind of like go into a semi-coma?
Yeah.
Because your body can't even figure out how to process that stuff. And I tell you what, I'm thinking it may work. We've got to eat a whole lot more vegetables too. But anyway, if you're good, you're good. And if not, you need to see what you got to do to make your body better. But that's about all I got. I'm out of here. Get some more callers in. Y'all have a good one.
All right. Good hearing from you. Take care, Dave. See you, man. All right. All right. It's Kayak Dave weighing in this morning on Open Line Sunday. So if you care to give us a call, we're here for you. If you want to talk about different lures, lure tactics, anything like that, we'll be glad to discuss it with you. When you call in, whatever question you got, we'll be glad to work with you on that. It's just the more you fish, the better you get at it, and the luckier you are at it. So experience pays off. It's really not any rocket science. It's just doing it. Regular classes and doing it so many years, it just comes, you know, second nature to you. So the way you present these lures and, you know, the main thing is to be on fish. That's the biggest part of catching fish is to be on them. I see that so much over the years, guiding with people that, you know, about all they can do is sling it out there. And if you get them on fish and enough fish, I mean, they're going to catch fish on lures. Everybody thinks, man, I got to have live bait. I just can't catch them with anything else. Well, no, if you're on the right school and a good feeding school, an aggressive school, you'll catch them on lures. And there's a lot of times when lures will catch them when live bait won't, and vice versa. But for the most part, it's just doing it. It's a mental block for some people. They just think that they just can't do it. And can't, never could, in anything in life. If you can't do it, you got that mental block. It's not happening for you. Got to be positive about it. All right, after the break, give us a call. We got lines available, 713-572-4610. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It is 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's get back to our callers. We do have some lines available, though. Here's that number again if you want to give us a call, 713-572-4610. All right, next up, we hadn't talked to Glenn in a while. Let's go to Glenn in Ohio. Glenn, good morning. What's up?
Oh, nothing much. Rejoined the ranks of the coastal sickos down here. So.
Oh, okay. You're back in town.
Yeah, we're back down, staying out of the cold. Actually, it hadn't been that cold up in Ohio this year.
Not really anywhere. It's been a mild winter for the most part.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah, it really has. So anyway, but... Yeah, we enjoy coming down and letting the others have it for pretty much through April, and we'll go back and enjoy the grandkids and that for the summer.
Well, what else is happening?
Oh, not much. I was kind of in memory going back down, talking about baits and that. I remember I started throwing lures as a kid only because my dad did, and the reason my dad threw lures was basically when I was real small, I think shrimp ran 75 cents a quart, and he thought that was outrageous, and so he always threw the bingos and the mirror lures and the old Tonya set of number five, so that's what I got used to, and it's funny because, you know, I got away from saltwater fishing for 40 years when I moved up country, and there was no similarity in freshwater baits at the time over saltwater, and then I come back down, and now you go through the aisles, and there's so much overlap now between freshwater and saltwater baits. It's amazing, you know, with the jig heads and the soft baits and the gulps and all the other stuff that you can use. So funny how that all evolves over time.
Well, it does. We've come a long way in a short time in the fishing industry, you know, as far as product and, you know, what we use, the rods and the reels, boats and
yeah,
engines.
That's really, really true. Yep.
Lures.
Yeah, I was going down memory lane with when Ray Stanley was kind of outlining some of the old outboard anthology about a week or two back, and I remember that so well with those old engines and the Magnetas and the shear pins and all the other stuff compared to what's out there today. So, yeah, it's amazing how. You don't think anything now to get in a boat and run 20 or 30 miles somewhere. Used to, if you stayed within 4 or 5 miles of where you launched, just about all you trusted your equipment to do, you know?
I'm with you.
So, anyway.
That curtailed a lot of our exploration back in the days, you know, where you'd put in, you're afraid to go too far because you never knew if that outboard was going to get you back.
That's exactly right. Yeah, the one we used to do as a kid was good for one-way transportation. Typically, it'd get you out, but then you had to figure out if you're going to paddle back or not. Anyway, the other topic that I thought about your show was when we came down a couple of weeks ago was a lot of times we come through Winnie and down through Bolivar, and man, they do have rollover paths buttoned up now. It's amazing. I was sad to see that place close down.
Yep.
But, that is. Yep, they had already, I thought I'd just see the fenced area in the pass still be open, but they've already excavated and closed the pass down when we crossed and drove over it.
I know, that's a shame, isn't it?
Well, you know, the thing I hate to see is the fact that it's hard to find public access to fish anymore. I mean, there's a few places around, but, you know, it's not like it used to be when you could just pretty well go where you wanted to, and if there was a vacant lot, you could usually go fish, but now people run you off for trespassing, and rightfully so. People don't treat the country right, you know, anymore. But it is hard to find a place to fish if you don't have a boat.
Well, and it, you know, these public accessible areas, you know, I think the reason the state and a lot of people are just not excited about keeping them open anymore is the way some of these places get trashed out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a shame.
People are so unthoughtful and inconsiderate when it comes to that. I mean, seriously, you've got to find a fine place to pull your car up to and get out and fish and enjoy yourself, and then you just kind of ruin it for everybody throwing trash on the ground, and I don't understand it. You just wouldn't believe it. You know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, occasionally I'll drive out on the Texas City Dyke, and what amazes me is they've got litter barrels every 150, 200 feet, and it's not that far to walk over and put something in a litter barrel, and yet you'll see people drive off and leave their mess right where it was, you know. And you kind of wonder why that is.
It's so easy to take a small kitchen garbage bag with you, put all your trash in, and then before you leave, walk over there and throw it in a barrel.
Yep, pretty easy to do. Get
home with you in your trash can.
Oh, well, but so be it, I guess. So anyway, we're looking forward to maybe getting a little bit brighter and better weather and probably hit my haunts out in West Bay and do something here in the next week or so if we can get a day or two to go out and fish.
Well, this front was, we needed this, really. For this time of year, our water temperatures were just ridiculous.
They're
couldn't believe
really high. They were in the 60s, I think, here last week,
Oh, yeah, mid-60s for January. Yeah. That's unheard of, man. That's what we look forward to in like you know, March when we start our wade fishing.
Yeah. Well, I got to remind myself when I come down here, you know, it's January is always a foggy, dreary month here on the island because it usually doesn't clear up and dry out until about 10:30 or 11 in the morning. And then you might see a little bit of bright sky and obscure haze. And then by about 4 o'clock, here comes the fog again. Everything gets wet down again. That just gets a little dreary, but it's better than that frozen tundra up there in Ohio for the time being, anyway.
No.
But anyhow, the other thing, always your show always taking me down memory lane, and I was listening to Hammond talk about the Christmas trees and putting them out in the bay for riprap and fish cover and that. And I don't know that there are any, I've heard anybody else doing it, but when I was a kiddo, you know, probably 8 or 10 or 12 when we were in school, when people would throw their Christmas trees out, there's about 10 or 12 of us guys, and we would ride our bikes around and snatch on the old Christmas trees that were thrown out on the curbstone down here on the island. We'd haul them out to, there were a bunch of vacant lots between here and Offutt's Bayou, and we would build Christmas tree forts, you know, each of us would have, there about 3 or 4 different forts out there.
And, we used to do that when we were kids.
Well, I was wondering if anybody else did that because we built Christmas tree forts, and then we would have bottle rocket fights and start shooting bottle rockets into those piles of trees and try to burn the other guy's fort down.
And, buddy, they'll go up like a Roman candle, too, man. An old Christmas tree.
out on an old vacant lot, it didn't matter, you know. But if you tried to do that now, you'd get carted off jail, you know.
Oh, yeah. Times have changed, didn't they?
Golly. Oh, it has. When I think
now, what they were doing with those Christmas trees were making berms with them to grab sand, you know, to increase the dune sizes on the beachfront down there.
I got you. I was mentally thinking they were going to put them out for riprap or something.
Now, they used to do that on the lakes a lot, but they've got into other things now that are – they make their own brush piles. A lot of them use plastic PVC and plumbing stuff to attract those fish like that. Plus, you don't hang up as bad. You can drop a jig down in them and don't hang up.
That makes sense. Because they used to use them for crappie habitat up in freshwater lakes.
Right.
Anyway.
And big bass love them, too.
Yeah. you'll love this story right quick. I'll let you go. There's a Buckeye Lake up there. Is a man-made lake. Well, it's not man-made. It's an old marsh that they had to flood for the old canal system. Anyway, people built summer cottages back there in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and it was literally a bog bottom lake. So if you wanted to build a dock, you couldn't hardly even put pilings in because they would just continue to sink. But anyway, people built piers out there, and they had to pull out all of those piers because the piers on the north side of that lake interfered with the dam. It was weakening the dam, and they wanted to rework the dam. What they found out, and they didn't know it because of these things that had been put in 50 and 60 years ago, is that most of those pilings, instead of driving them into the bottom of the lake, people had thrown old car hoods down on the bottom and then put the pilings on car hoods and then built their docks.
Really?
Basically, because the car hood wouldn't sink into that bog bottom. They had more old rusted out car hoods from cars of the 20s, 30s, and 40s piled up there. It was hilarious because that was the construction method 50, 60, 70 years ago. And I'd never ever heard of that before, but anyway. Funny how things adapt, you know.
It's hard to find bottom when there is no bottom.
That's right. Well, like I say, you couldn't drive a piling into it because you just lose the whole piling as you drove it into that darn bog bottom, you know.
Man, I've waded off into some areas like that before. Oh, that's never fun.
I've been into the marsh mud. It'll sure pull your shoes off.
I've hit some spots in the bay before that just there just wasn't any bottom. You had to crawl out. You had to do the old alligator crawl, just swim out of it. Boy, that's nasty.
We've never done that.
Had that happen two times in one day.
Ooh, that's not good.
No, never is. And
not
that,
good.
Naturally, it was in the 30s. It was cold, and you're wet, and it's that's never good.
Yeah, here you go again. Think about the first inkling of cold water that you know when your waders got a hole in it.
Yeah, well, try dipping them all the way under from the top and just fill all the way up, all the way from top to bottom.
In the morning isn't going to get any better.
No, it doesn't. Thank God you got an extra change of clothes in there, but then you get all dry and comfortable and then do it again later in the evening and have to take that cold boat ride to the dock. That's never good.
You got it. All right, well, let's go out of this hall. As you know, I'm still alive and down south.
All right, Glenn. Well, good to have you back home, and take care, man. Maybe you can get out this week and catch you a few fish.
We'll do something. We'll catch up with you later.
All right, buddy. Good hearing from you, Glenn. See you.
Thank you. Ciao.
All right. So, Glenn from Ohio weighing in this morning. Give us a call, 713-572-4610. Austin will get you punched up. We'll get you on. We'll talk about it. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Open Land Fun Sunday. We do have some lines available. If you care to call in, 713-572-4610. Send me a text this morning. Asked well on a sicko page and put a message up there about in the 257 whether I shot the Roberts or the Weatherby. I shoot the Weatherby, 257 Weatherby mag. Anyone know? Accurate and hard, you know, very fast split, you know, big bullet, but speed kills, man. This thing, I guess that Weatherby, if you put an 80 grain in it, you're whistling about 3,900 feet per second with it, with a 90 to 100 grain bullet. I like it. Shoot 100 grain double shock or, you know, a ballistic tip, and you're whistling out there about 3,400 feet per second with it. And, you know, with a good expandable bullet like that with extreme penetration, it's gonna knock down your game that you're shooting at. It's one of the all-around good rounds. You want to know how hard it was to find rounds for it. Now, you're not going to go down to an academy, a box store, buy 257 Weatherby mag bullets. I recommend shooting Weatherby ammo through it. Now, you can load your own, and I know guys that do, and they shoot extremely well. And but for the most part, I know Hornady's making ammunition for that particular gun. I've never shot Hornady rounds through there. A lot of these gun shows, especially Daryl Pocock's booth, he's always got Weatherby ammo, and it's pretty price, you know, $39.95 for a box of Weatherby bullets, especially in like the Spire Points or something like that, which is plenty good, a really good shooting bullet. I've had nothing but good luck with them. But I mean, this isn't a gun that you'd go to the range with and just, you know, burn a lot of ammo through. I mean, that's your hunting rifle, and all you want to do is check it every year to make sure it's on, really. That's kind of the way I do it. If I want to shoot a lot, then you get into your other calibers like .223 and things like that where, you know, ammo's plenty available and not as expensive and works out really good. You know, practice with other things like that. And, you know, to keep your edge up, you know, there's a lot cheaper calibers to shoot and burn a lot of rounds. That's a lot. discipline. If you're going to shoot a lot of the range, 9mm is the way to go. It's a little less expensive. You know, getting back to this fishgame.com app I was telling you about, the mysteries of speckled trout migration. You know, the study by the Gulf States Marine Fishery Commission report, it showed that one researcher tagged more than 2,600 speckled trout and received 50 returns, which I think is a pretty good ratio. And of these, 20 came from the release point area, like where they were tagged and released. They were pretty much stayed in the same area. You know, similar findings were reported by a researcher, Rogelio, with a 98% of returns coming with a 1.5 kilometers of his release point. And, you know, the details that in Texas of 20,912 tagged trout released in Texas marine waters, 1,367 were recaptured, and about 84% were caught in the same bay where they were released. 8% were caught in another bay, 5% were recaptured in Mexico, and of 588 spotted sea trout tagged in the Gulf Serve, 14 were recaptured, 12 in the Gulf, and 2 in the bays. And researcher Laura Payne, she wrote a thesis on trout migration within the Laguna Madre system. You know, anecdotal information suggests that spotted sea trout migrate from nearshore waters into bays to spawn, and that these migratory fish may sustain populations of spotted sea trout within the Laguna Madre system. And, you know, to further explore spotted sea trout movement patterns, both laboratory tagging trials and acoustic tracking technology was employed to investigate movement patterns on a large scale. And in the study of 81 speckled trout were captured via hook and line between December 2009 and October 2010, and implanted with acoustic tags, 31 within bay waters, 30 fish from surf zones, and 20 live release tournament fish. And they found overall minimal survival rate of 70% between angler recaptures and receiver detections. And many long-distance travels were recorded, and movement patterns varied greatly. 75% of fish in the surf water were detected on rivers and tidal inlets, and 2 fish from the upper Laguna Madre were detected leaving the laguna into Corpus Christi Bay, which is a pretty good move. But for the most part, these fish pretty much stayed in their general area where they were tagged. But these data, you know, surveys and everything, they suggest Gulf Bay and Inner Bay mixing of spotted sea trout populations. And the high percentage of angler recaptures, they validate previous studies that determine catch and release practices are viable, and it helps maintain a healthy fish stock and fishery. So that's good news to hear on the catch and release part. And that all has to do with how you take care of your fish. I mean, you just can't flip a trout over the side of the boat and let him flop around on the floor, or pick him up with a dry rag, wrap your hand around him, take him off, and throw him back in the water and expect this fish to have a great survival rate. That's just not good practice. What we do when, you know, like when I'm fishing, we're kind of catching, releasing. We pretty much don't put those fish in the net unless they're just, you know, if they're real big, we'll hold them over the side of the boat. You know, once you wear them down, just kind of hold on to your leader, get your pliers out, and, you know, if you have to, you know, the fish is really still green and wild, we'll put a boga grip in his bottom lip just to kind of hold control over him. That way you don't have to put your hand on him, or put him in a net and wash all the slam off of him, and then we'll be able to pop the hook out with pliers for the most part. Fish them off. You know, a lot of times you get, these big bull reds and stuff, and you're using light tackle. You know, the faster you can get a fish in like that, the better chance he has of recovering and still has enough left in him to swim off and survive. I notice they do that a lot with tarpon, you know, on catch and release on that. They use a little bit heavier tackle than you normally would, but that enables the angler to go ahead and get this fish in quick, get the leader on him, pop that circle hook out, and let that fish swim off before he's still got enough mustard left in him to survive and not become predator bait, so to speak. I know a lot of them getting eaten by sharks over in, especially Boca Grande Pass, when they have all those big tarpon catches over there. That happens quite frequently, shark attacks. And that's never a pretty sight. You're trying to take care of a good fish like that, turn it loose, and then you've worn it down so bad it can't escape a predator in the area. But that's what we do with trout. Just the less you handle them, and, you know, if you're really into catch and release, you can mash the barbs down. A lot of guides do that. I do it, including myself. And as long as you don't give that fish any slack, he's not going to throw that hook. You keep pressure on him all the way to the boat, and that fish is going to, you're going to get him up there and get to look at him or whatever you want to do with him. But usually I'll get him up by the boat, and all I have to do is drop my rod tip and just slap it up and down, give it a little slack, and that hook will pop out, and the fish swim off. And, you know, if you're into that, catch and release, not catch and chew. But, how this five fish limits is going to work out for us. I know a lot of people are expecting instant results. You're not going to get that. I mean, anybody with any sense knows that just because you went to five fish, you know, back in September, that we're going to have an overabundance of fish already, which is, you know, it's not going to happen. You're going to catch bigger fish a few years down the line. These fish, trying to catch a lot of these juvenile fish that you're catching. So, all right, well, we've got phone lines available. We've got a few minutes left before we have to go off air. If you care to get a call in on Open Line Sunday, we'd love to hear from you. 713-572-4610. That's 713-572-4610. Austin, how's it going in there, bud?
Man, going pretty good, Captain. Uploading the podcast to the website, making sure everybody can get their outdoor fixing.
That, podcast a couple of ways, really through radio.com. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And then they can go to our website, sportsradio610.com, and they can scroll down, find the outdoor page, click on that, and then go in there and listen to whatever hour or, you know, if you want to listen to the whole thing, you can listen to it all the way through. So.
And we got shows, dating back to a couple months ago, so if you want to just pick an episode and start listening.
That's true.
There's a lot.
Y'all keep it updated.
Try to, yes, sir.
Well, what do you think about today's football? Two games left, man, before the big Super Bowl.
Man, it's going to be interesting. I think the Chiefs and Titans game is going to be a lot closer than people think. I do think the Titans will win, though.
Do you?
I think Derrick Henry is just on a different. He's just different right now. He's not. Nobody can stop him. That dude is a big running back.
And yeah, he's got a good offensive line in front of him too. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is give that guy a little bit of room, and he'll bust that hole. And how would you like to be on the other side of that line receiving that man?
I would not like that.
I hadn't seen a running back run over more people so brutally since Earl Campbell.
Man, and it's just a big old man, and nobody wants to tackle him. But can you blame him?
How tall is he? Is he like 6'5 or something? He's tall.
I think he's 6'3, and he's probably like 230, 240.
Oh, he's a beast then.
Imagine.
I thought he was like 6'5 and 260 or 270. He looks that big.
He looks like it. He might be 6'4. I don't think he's 6'5, but he's big. He's big. Man, so I think they'll probably keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. And
if you're going to beat that guy, we found that out firsthand.
Gosh, man, I'm still sick about that. I tried to not watch sports for the next few days after that.
You know, our defense had him so good and contained. And, you know, I know they had a few drop passes, but they, you know, some of those were thrown behind those receivers too. They were blaming it on receivers, but some of them were just passes that were hard to catch. you know, on crossing routes and slants and everything that were just kind of thrown behind the receivers.
Yes, sir.
But, well, once they got that machine rolling, there was no stopping that. That was a tidal wave of just.
They just did what they wanted.
Buffalo game in 93 when in the playoff.
See, I was 1 year old. I didn't get to experience that, thankfully. I don't think my heart could have took that, seeing that game and this one.
I was duck hunting that morning. Oof. And matter of fact, we were hunting a heart attack at the refuge. And when we got in the truck to come home, the Oilers were up, man, it seemed like it was 35-3 or something, kind of score like that. And 33, I don't remember. But we were blowing them away. And we're listening to that game, the second half coming home, and it was like a tidal wave, and you couldn't stop it. It was like a tsunami.
Yeah, that's how it felt this last weekend.
Well, that was a what'd they score? Seven straight touchdowns.
Oh my gosh, that was tough. That was tough. And then the Astros, like we talked about beginning of the show today, you know, if you're a Houston sports fan, it felt like we just kept getting kicked to the ground.
That was definitely a Black Monday.
Man.
For sports fans in our area.
Didn't the weather last week kind of fit, you know, how Houston was probably feeling?
Yeah, no joke.
Man, that was tough. It,
you know, there's pros and cons to all that. And, you know, stealing baseball signs has been going on for years. What gets me, though, is the year that we won the World Series. We actually had a way better road record than we did a home record.
Yeah, I saw that.
And we actually won the World Series on the road. And boy, didn't we win game seven? So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. Did you see what Altuve said yesterday? He said, we will be back in the World Series. He's like,
well,
you can count on that.
But now we're tainted.
Yeah.
To me, we're not. Because I know we're not the only team doing that kind of stuff.
Oh, absolutely not. But they're going to make an example out of us.
Rats come out of the closet and rat each other out, man.
Yeah. Man.
You know, you get on a sinking ship, and the ones that don't jump off start to eat each other.
Yep. Yep.
Who started all this? Mike Fiers?
Yep. He was on our team the year we won the championship.
Sour grapes, man.
Man, accepted his ring and everything.
Yeah, I watched a video on him pitching his no-hitter that year, and it was showing him every time he'd throw a pitch, it wasn't so good. It was in the dirt, or he didn't locate it like he wanted to. You'd see him take his throwing hand thumb and go to the heel of his glove. I don't know whether some guy did a video on it and said, yeah, you got a lot of room to talk. So,
like he might have been cheating as well.
But yeah, but cheating's cheating, you know. It's I don't condone it.
Yeah, and if
it's not a good thing, it's not good.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
No, it's not. But we have a way of things like this happen. It's about winning and money. Money's big when the winning's good, and it's the way it works out. Well, Austin, I hope you have a great week.
You too, Kevin.
We got to pull a close to the show, but that's the way it works. We'll be back next Thursday morning at 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.